Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Piedmont Medical Center is with us today. Let's call it Piedmont Medical Network because that is their new name, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com. So we are marching our way towards the 250th anniversary of this wonderful nation of ours. And we got a guy here who knows more about history in York County than I could ever dream to know. His name is Zach Lemhouse. Zach has been on this program in past years. It's been a while since he's been here. But he's all geared up for the 250th, and he's going to help us march right on down to July 4th. 2026. How are you, Zach?
I'm doing well, Manning. Thank you so much for having me on. It's so good to see you again.
Now, tell everybody a little bit about Zach.
Absolutely. So I was born and raised here in York County. I attended Winthrop University, just right across the street from here. I got a degree in history and a degree in teaching, and I taught for about 5 years here in York County schools. I taught history, believe it or not. In 2019, I changed careers and I joined the Culture and Heritage Museums of York County, our local museum system here in York County. If you're not familiar with the Culture and Heritage Museums, shame on you. No, I'm just joking. Culture and Heritage Museums is a family of four museums that we have here. It includes two here in Rock Hill, the Museum of York County, which is a natural history museum right across the street from Dutchman Creek Middle School. And then on Main Street here in Rock Hill, we have the Main Street Children's Museum. So definitely check that out. And then in McConnell's, the site that I work with most as historian is historic Brattonsville. We're an 800-acre historic site. It was a historic plantation, but it was also the site of a Revolutionary War battle called the Battle of Huck's Defeat, which we'll talk about a little bit today. And then our fourth site is a public research institute, a public research facility called the Historical Center of York County. It is right around the block from the courthouse, the historic courthouse in the city of York. And part of the Historical Center is my office, which is part of the Southern Revolutionary War Institute, which is a scholarly research library dedicated to the study of the Southern campaigns of the American Revolution. So I'm the director of that research institute. So that's just a little bit of what I do with the museums.
So that's located in what we used to call the McKelvey Center?
Correct. That's the McKelvey Center campus. So you have the McKelvey Center proper, which is the historic schoolhouse.
Right.
It has a beautiful historic auditorium. And then right next door is the annex to that school, which was renovated to be our research center.
Huh.
And that's also our archives. So at the front of the house, we have the public spaces where people can come and research during our regular business hours, 10 o'clock to 4 o'clock, Monday through Friday. And then at the back of the house is the kind of the restricted employee-only area. But that's where we have our archives and our special collections, where we have things as large as motor cars and as small as like buttons, right? Housed there. Our motor car is actually on display at the Lowenstein building here in Rock Hill.
So. Now, is that also where they store all of the real estate documents, the court documents, the old ones?
We have all sorts of wonderful documents just like that at the Historical Center that researchers can come, like I said, during our regular business hours. If you're doing research on local history, family history, a history on the American Revolution, anything like that, you can come during our regular business hours. Our staff is always there and ready to help you and kind of give you some guidance and make those documents and things accessible to you.
So now, in your position, mm-hmm. are you still trying to figure out exactly everything that happened 250 years ago?
So I'm lucky because there's a great foundation of work that was actually done by my predecessor, a guy named Michael Scoggins. So Mike passed away in 2019. Unfortunately, he had cancer. But I had the privilege and honor of working with Mike before his passing And he laid a lot of this groundwork for studying the American Revolution in York County. Him and another gentleman named Dr. Bobby Moss. Okay. Those two historians in particular worked very hard to really study the American Revolution in York County, the Southern campaigns. So I have a strong foundation to work from with my own scholarship.
So, but you take their work that you have read from one cover to the other, and because you're a historian, always looking for more.
Yes.
There are gaps in there that you say, I'm going to go explore this, or I'm going to explore that. Is that what you're doing?
Absolutely. So I'm looking for stones, and it's difficult because they were so thorough, they didn't leave very many stones unturned, right? But I'm always looking for those stones to unturn or ways to build upon their work, and maybe look at how they've interpreted history and see if I come to the same conclusions or if I interpret it a little bit differently, right?
All right. Well, what kind of stone are you working on right now?
Oh, what kind of stones am I unturning? So recently, I was working with a South Carolina 250 Commission. So that's the state commission that was established in 2019 to celebrate the 250th anniversary of the American Revolution in South Carolina. And so over the past couple years, I've been working with them to collect, transcribe, annotate, and soon publish the wartime correspondence of Thomas Sumter. So if you don't know who Thomas Sumter was, he was a partisan band militia leader here that operated in York County during the American Revolution. And I've been working with generous funding from South Carolina 250, as well as a wonderful employee that's been working with me. His name's David McSwain. And we've been, over the past couple years, collecting all this correspondence being sent and received by Thomas Sumter. And it's been transcribed, it's been annotated, which means we've gone through and provided some context for what people are reading. And it's been sent off to the publisher, and the publishers are working on it now. So at some point in the future, I'm not at liberty to say when, because I'm not 100% sure when, near future, they will be publishing it. It'll be a born digital project, which means it won't be a physical book, at least not right now, maybe eventually, but it'll be accessible for free online. And they've already given Francis Marion the same treatment. So if you're interested in Francis Marion from the Low Country, his correspondence has been published online. It's already out there.
That's interesting, really interesting. So in a nutshell, tell us who this guy Sumter was.
Yeah, so Sumter, he started the war as a career military officer. He enlisted, and he was put in charge of a company of a regiment of riflemen. It was the 6th South Carolina Regiment. And so he served in the early part of the war, 1775, 1776, right, early on. But he eventually retired from that and started working as a politician, a patriot politician. But he's going to re-enter the war after the fall of Charlestown in May of 1780. So on May 12, 1780, Charlestown falls to the British, and British are able to come into the interior of the Carolinas. And one of the first battles after the fall of Charlestown takes place on May 29, 1780, which was the Battle of the Waxhaws, also called the Battle of Buford's Massacre, where British, under the command of a guy named Bannister Tarleton, are overtaking the remnants of Patriot Continentals that didn't quite make it in time to reinforce Charleston, and they're trying to retreat. And on their way, they pass Thomas Sumter's home. And according to some accounts, they burn it. Thomas Sumter is away at the time, and they destroy his home and harass his wife, right, who is there at the time. So it is this destruction of his home that kind of motivates him to jump back in. He establishes his own company of Patriot militiamen. And after the fall of Charleston, all the Patriot militiamen in the backcountry who had kind of been dispersed with the Patriot defeat at Charleston, they reorganize themselves under Thomas Sumter here in the backcountry, and he becomes a very active militia leader here. And it is his men that fight at many of the battles in the backcountry, including the Battle of Huck's Defeat. If you're familiar with the 2000 2000, I think, film, The Patriot, with Mel Gibson.
Yes. Woo.
So a lot of historical inaccuracies in the film, of course. But it is interesting to see where they draw from the actual history. So if you recall, Mel Gibson's character in the film didn't want to be involved in the American Revolution until his home was destroyed by the British, who burned his home. They're drawing that inspiration directly from people like Thomas Sumter, who had retired from fighting, who was a politician, and was drawn back into the war because the British destroyed his home.
And wasn't one of the British characters that was portrayed in that film, wasn't his name Tarleton?
Yeah, so his name was Tavington, and they changed the names intentionally because they wanted, if you look at original drafts of the script, which you can find online, you can see that the names of these characters have not been changed yet. So Mel Gibson's character's name is Francis Marion, right? And Tavington's character's name is Tarleton.
That's it.
But they wanted to be able to take some liberty with the story, stretch the truth. So in order to do that, they changed the names. But the Tavington character, the villain, right, of that story, is supposed to be Tarleton.
And for those of you who were not here 25 years ago when that film was done, it was really something to see Mel Gibson out there on the porch in a rocking chair at Hightower doing an interview with all the media people. It was quite something.
It was an important event for this community.
It really
the Patriot.
Was.
And if you're interested in watching it, well, what I would recommend you do is go on Culture and Heritage Museum's YouTube page and search for the Patriot commentary. So a couple years ago, I recorded with a couple other professionals over at Brattonsville a commentary that you can sync up with your version of the Patriot, and we'll talk through the movie. If you're familiar with that old TV show Mystery Science Theater 3000, where the people would talk over the film, and so you can link up my commentary with your version of The Patriot, and I'll talk through the film, and I'll point out, hey, this is accurate, and this is not, and things like that.
That's interesting.
So if you want to watch the film, check it out with the commentary.
Interesting. Okay. So for those who are not only new to our community, but who have been here a long time, like myself, and don't really have a full grasp of how important a role York County played in the American Revolution. That's why we brought Zach Limhouse here, because as you can tell, I just have to say go, and he'll be able to tell us the whole thing. So tell us, I mean, give us an overview as to how important we were in this whole battle that we now know as the American Revolution.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, in general, South Carolina's role in the American Revolution is very important. There were more battles fought in South Carolina than pretty much any other colony during the American Revolution. Over 200 battles and skirmishes just in South Carolina. And the South, South Carolina in particular, was very important in England's strategy for winning the American Revolution. The King of England and his advisors firmly believed that this revolution was a rebellion of a minority, that the vast majority of people in the colonies were still loyal to England, and he would be correct. In 1775, when the war started, there were more loyalists, people loyal to England, in South Carolina than any other colony in America, except for New York. So New York had the most loyalists, but South Carolina had the second largest number of loyalists. So what the king wanted to do was monopolize on this large loyalist population by taking Charleston, the port capital city of South Carolina, and he hoped that if Charleston fell, that all of these loyalists would come out of the woodwork, they would rally behind the British banner, and that he could train them, arm them, and organize them, and then send them out to fight the war in the South on behalf of England. It was never intended for the British occupation force, the actual soldiers that came over from England on the boat, they never intended to have them doing a lot of fighting here in the South. They wanted to mobilize the loyal population that was already here. And England will attempt to take South Carolina in June of 1776, June 28, 1776, but they will be thwarted by the resilience of a small palmetto log fort on Sullivan's Island. It's called the Battle of Sullivan's Island. The British are repelled, and they will fight a campaign in the north until about 1778, when it becomes clear that neither side is making any progress, that the war has reached a stalemate. So the king decides to revisit this idea of a southern strategy, a southern campaign. And he tries to take Charleston again, and this time they succeed. On May 12, 1780, Charleston falls. Unfortunately, that large loyalist population that he had hoped would be there was no longer there by 1780. A lot had happened between 1776 and 1780 that is often kind of overlooked in our history books. I think a takeaway that I would hope your listeners would take away from this conversation is that there's this misconception that after the Battle of Sullivan's Island, that the people in South Carolina, especially the ones in the back country, are part of South Carolina, that we kind of twiddled our thumbs and sat around and didn't want to get involved in the Revolution until Charleston fell in 1780. And the British actually started coming to the back country. That's when we decided to get involved. And that's couldn't be further from the truth. We have people in this part of South Carolina, York County people, that are enlisting in the Patriot Militia as early as 1775, when the war started. Colonel William Bratton of Brattonsville is one of them. I mean, he enlists in 1775, and he's fighting as early as 1775. And he continues fighting while the British are up north. And then when they come back in May of 1780... the people they are fighting against are war-hardened, battle-hardened soldiers, experienced soldiers. And I think we sometimes forget that when we're telling our revolutionary story.
Wow. Jeez. Well, that's a good place for us to take a break. And we're going to whittle this down to good old York County right after we remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. And by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Good Pharmacy is with us, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Okay, Zach knows what we're going to do. We're going to remind everybody we're at Substation 2, where we make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, and anybody who can read the King's English, including you over there, is expected to yell it out loud. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Start your journey with a new auto loan. Get on the road with an auto loan from Founders Federal Credit Union. From city streets to off-road trails, your journey begins here. Our competitive rates can get you on the road in a ride that fits your lifestyle and budget, with no payments for up to 90 days. You can apply for a pre-approved spending limit valid for 30 days before you start shopping. Visit one of our many convenient office locations or go to foundersfcu.com/auto to apply for an auto loan today. Membership qualification required. See webpage for details.
For more than 130 years, Comporium has been a part of the fabric of this community. We've grown alongside schools, organizations, and local businesses, always committed to helping this place we call home succeed. Comporium employees aren't strangers. They're friends, family, and neighbors you see every day. Where others see customers, we see community. We give back, building trust that lasts for generations. Comporium, here for you.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
More than 40 years ago, Piedmont Medical Center opened with a promise to provide compassionate, high-quality care. This year, we step forward as Piedmont Medical Network. 2 hospitals, 4 emergency departments, and hundreds of dedicated physicians evolving to care for you today and for generations to come. As we grow and expand, one thing remains the same: our commitment to caring for our neighbors. We are Piedmont Medical Network. Find a doctor at PiedmontMedicalNetwork.com/about.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
Such distinguished people frequent this place, enjoy that, and the food is delicious.
The salads are the best in town.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Very pleased to have, direct from the Museum of York County, the one and only Mr. Zach Blumhouse, who's the historian for MICO, and he does a great job. And if you've missed the first part of this, I would strongly suggest you go back and listen to it, because we're at a point now where we've got a war underway. Mm-hmm. 1775, it all started. 1780, Charlestown at that time. We flipped the name to Charleston at some point. Randy Lincoln can tell us about that. I'm sure he knows. But and in between all this, the colonists finally decide we've had enough of Great Britain, so we're going to declare independence from them in 1776, right?
That's right. That's right. July 4th, 1776, we officially declare independence. It is important to note, as you did, that fighting started in 1775. We declare our independence in 76. Charleston is attacked. That first attempt at that southern campaign happens on June 28, 1776. The British fail at taking Charleston. They're forced to go north. But it's important to understand that when the British went north, fighting was still happening here in South Carolina, in the backcountry, in York County. It is a civil war. Of course, lowercase c, civil war. But you have patriots and loyalists fighting one another. People that support the King of England, the Loyalists, people that want independence, the Patriots, and they're fighting one another, and sometimes it's brother against brother, father against son, husband against wife in some cases. In the summer of 1780, we have a small skirmish that takes place here in York County called the Battle of Stallings Plantation, and Mrs. Stallings, the wife, was a patriot, and Mr. Stallings, the husband, was a loyalist. And her name is Sarah Stallings, and she actually is unfortunately killed in the crossfire during this small skirmish. So you really do see families divided. It really is a civil war. So fighting is occurring between the first attempt by the British to take Charleston and the second attempt when the British actually take it on May 12, 1780. And with the fall of Charleston, it's a huge patriot defeat, because with one fell swoop, one of the wealthiest port cities in the American colonies is now under British control. The patriot government of South Carolina has crumbled, and the entire southern arm of the Continental Army, as well as the patriot militiamen that were there, are all captured and awaiting parole. Actually, I should say almost the entire southern arm of the Continental Army, because there's a small regiment of Virginia Continentals under the command of Abraham Buford. I think I mentioned this earlier. They're attempting to reinforce that garrison at Charlestown. When they hear that Charlestown has fallen, they're attempting to retreat back north, and Lord Charles Cornwallis, who is placed in command of the Southern Theater for the British, he wants to overtake Buford before his men can get back into North Carolina. And he sends a very infamous guy named Lieutenant Colonel Bannister Tarleton. He is a British officer of the British Legion cavalry, for lack of a better term. And they can move very quickly, so they overtake Buford on May 29, 1780. And it's called the Battle of Waxhaw, also known as the Battle of Buford's Massacre. It was fought in present-day Lancaster County. And with that, the British are able to move pretty freely into the interior of South Carolina. There's no patriot force strong enough to really stop them, because the Continental Army and the militiamen that were at Charleston are now captured, and any militiamen that weren't are kind of scattered to the wind. Fortunately, in the summer, in June, so the following month, the militia are able to reorganize themselves here in the backcountry under Thomas Sumter, who we spoke about earlier. And Thomas Sumter will establish his camp on the Catawba River. And from there, he will fight this partisan guerrilla-style war against the British. And one of those battles is, of course, the Battle of Huck's Defeat, or the Battle of Williamson's Plantation. That happens 2 months to the day after the fall of Charleston. Charleston falls on May 12th, and the Battle of Williamson's Plantation happens on July 12th. Of course, being the historian for historic Brattonsville, that is the site of the Battle of Williamson's Plantation. I would encourage everybody to come out to our annual reenactment of that battle. It'll be July 11 and July 12 this year. We'll have battlefield tours if you want to see the battlefield. I'll be giving some of them. We'll have the battle reenactment. We'll have a speaker from the Smithsonian Institute coming and giving a special talk. We'll have some of our friends from the Charlotte Museum of History coming and showing us a new exhibit that I helped them create. So it'll be a good time. I encourage you to come out. But the Battle of Williamson's Plantation is very important. It was a skirmish between Patriots that were in Sumter's brigade and British under the command of a guy named Christian Huck. Christian Huck was under the overall command of Bannister Tarleton. And Huck was sent into the backcountry to round up Patriot leaders. And as he's making his way through, word of his approach to present-day Brattonsville is making its way through the community. It eventually makes its way to Colonel Bratton. According to family history, we were discussing this off-air, Colonel Bratton, who's still camping with Sumter's militia on the Catawba River, is informed by an enslaved man who was enslaved by the Brattons, a guy named Watt. Yeah. And according to the story, Watt is sent with a message to Colonel Bratton, summoning him back to the plantation. The Patriots under Bratton ambush Huck the next morning, defeat him. It's called the Battle of Huck's Defeat. And it's a very important battle. It's small in the grand scheme of things, only 15 minutes. But it's important because it really boosts Patriot morale in this part of the Carolinas. To give you an idea, Thomas Sumter's numbers in his militia swell. They nearly double after the Battle of Huck's Defeat as new recruits are inspired by the Battle of Williamson's Plantation to join the ranks of local Patriot militias like Thomas Sumter's. Of course, we then have the Battle of Cowpens. The Battle of Camden, which is in August of 1780. It's a terrible, terrible Patriot defeat. And from there, Lord Cornwallis is able to establish, he comes to the British stronghold at Camden. And from there, he decides he wants to march north. He wants to march north into North Carolina. This is a big mistake for Cornwallis because he was instructed not to leave the Carolinas until he had them firmly under his thumb, until the Carolinians were firmly under control. He was instructed not to leave the Carolinas, but he does. He misunderstands the Patriot swell that is happening as a result of the Battle of Huck's Defeat. So he decides to move north. He sends a guy named Ferguson. Patrick Ferguson, to protect his western flank, and Ferguson is defeated at the Battle of Kings Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Right? A huge turning point, recognized by many as the turning point for the American Revolution. Thomas Jefferson calls it the turning point in the American Revolution. Henry Clinton, who's in overall command of all the British in North America, he calls it a turning point in the American Revolution. So Kings Mountain also fought here in York County, very important. With the British defeat at Kings Mountain, Cornwallis is forced to abandon this attempt to go into North Carolina. He retreats back into South Carolina. He actually sets up his winter camp in Winnsboro. And after the Battle of Cowpens, that takes place on January 17, 1781, he's going to chase the Patriots through North Carolina and have a fight with them called the Battle of Guilford Courthouse, which is going to so weaken him that he's going to be forced to retreat to Yorktown, where he eventually surrenders, Yorktown, Virginia. And I think an important takeaway is Cornwallis had to expend so much energy and effort fighting the Patriots here in South Carolina, in York County, and he had to continue to expend that effort as he chased them into North Carolina, that he spent so much of his resources and his troops became so incredibly tired from having to fight this war on so many fronts. I mean, it was a counterinsurgency,
sure,
if you think about it, that he had no other alternative but to retreat to Yorktown and rendezvous with destiny.
And destiny was, of course, the French arrived on the scene, and up there in the good old New England, we blew them all apart, and we won. We won the war. Zach, you've done a great job. Appreciate all the work that you do. Hope we can get you back here again.
Absolutely.
Zach Lemhouse from the Museum of York County, their historian, and that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Credit Union. Relax here with Founders, and by Comporium, your friendly neighborhood tech giant. Okay, one more time. We're going to tell everybody what the heck we do here at Substation 2. It's called Fresh Subs and Salads, and we do it 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, and we expect you to bellow it out loud at the count of three. Are we ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.